Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish Podcast. I'm Andy Kirikides. Unfortunately, not joined by our wonderful co-host, Coach Glasser, today, but we do have a special guest. You'll recognize the name and the voice. We got Jonathan Grasse with us today. How we doing, man?
So, thanks for having me on again. Happy to fill in for Keith. Excited to break down some super regionals here, baby.
Hell yeah. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about. First thing off the top. Hot off the presses. Congratulations to Misericordia for the Division III National Championship. Hard to put into words the job that Pete Egberton's staff there, Garrett Demaray, is their assistant there right now. The job that they've done, one heck of a run. They've been on the cusp of it for the better part of a decade now, what it seems like, constantly in the tournament. They've been in the World Series a couple times. And they're taking home the hardware. So shout out to Pete and the crew up there with bringing home the national title to Dallas, Pennsylvania.
Really cool. Really, really, really cool. They lost too. I believe they lost right game two. So they won. I think they got rained out yesterday, I believe. We're recording here on Thursday. Got rained out. Won on Tuesday, rained out yesterday, and lost game one today and come back and win. It's tough to do that. I talked to, I can't remember who I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, but we were talking about that and that scenario. And for Division III, you would hope that they would, you know, figure it out and just do it over 3 days. But for whatever reason, they do it over 2 days. It's tough, man. You win that first one and, you know, then you lose the game and you got to flip right back around and, you know, try to win it. So it's really cool. Congratulations to them. Like you said, Dallas, Pennsylvania, baby, bringing it back. Really cool.
All right, let's get into some regional breakdown stuff before we talk about these super regional matchups. But give me some of your hot takes. What fired you up? Like, what you got on it? There's a lot there. It's pretty wild regional weekend.
I watched a lot of baseball. I texted you on Friday and I was like, I don't plan on moving off of my couch, and I didn't. I probably watched 12 straight hours of baseball, starting I think with. It was Wofford LSU at noon on Friday, and really, I didn't really stop watching. I really watched the whole weekend. It was awesome. I will pat myself on the back with my best four seed selection in the tournament, the Aces coming out of Evansville. I will be very transparent that I had no idea that they would actually win that pod, but. Shout out to the Evansville Aces, four seed getting to a super, really, really, really cool. Anytime you can get a four seed in that super round, it's awesome to see, you know, some of those mid majors. They also did it like Misericordia, where they lost that, you know, that decisive game two out of the winner's bracket, and you know, I obviously won it on Monday. So really cool to Evansville. I think the one biggest takeaway is in. I think you saw it. There was an image on Twitter about viewership. College baseball is here, folks. It's here to stay. I mean, you know, the viewers that they had on ESPN2, you know, Wofford played LSU again in the loser bracket on Sunday. I think that was the second most viewed game. North Carolina, I believe LSU was the most viewed game on Monday night. But I mean, ratings up, crazy amount. College baseball, the level of play, the viewership, get locked in because it's here to stay. And I think to be honest, I think you're going to see even crazier numbers this weekend. And I think even moving into next week when you get into, you know, obviously that Omaha and then the championship round in Omaha, you're going to see major numbers being put up on these TV, you know, viewership. So, shout out to college baseball. Just it's freaking awesome right now.
Yeah, obviously we're pretty well immersed in this, having done it for a long time and really been able to see kind of the evolution of it all. But this time of year is always fun because there's a lot of people out there that get really caught up in the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 and thinking that that's the only place that good baseball is played. And the thing that stuck out to me across the board is when you get to these 64 teams, and there's a lot of really good teams who weren't playing this past weekend, but it gives a chance for some of these programs that people don't know enough about to showcase how freaking good they are. Right. And you kicked it off with Wofford, and I know you're close with JJ, but watching those guys play, like, they're physical. They throw a ton of strikes. They compete their butts off. They play defense. Like, that's the new standard in college baseball, is that physicality, like, across the board. Nobody was really overmatched, really. Like, there wasn't a ton of games where people were just getting their teeth kicked in because they weren't competitive. I was super impressed with that. Like, VCU stuck out, you know, running a lefty out who goes and stuffs it on Wake Forest, 94-95 all the way through eight innings. Then they bring in another kid who's 95-96. Like, just the talent level across the board was impressed. Just across the board. I was even surprised, even knowing as much as we do, I was surprised at how good some of those teams were and the type of talent they were running out there. The composure from the players, I thought, really stood out, being able to see how some of these kids handle themselves in pressure spots and how comfortable they look in those situations from all different schools. I think that speaks a lot to what coaches are looking at from a recruiting perspective, is like, if you're going to play in that type of setting, you need guys who can handle the pressure of the setting. And I was just blown away at the composure and the level of competitiveness across the board. I thought it's one of the best, might be the best regional weekend I've seen in a long time.
I think there's the stats back that up, to be honest with you. Like, I think we had more, I can't remember the exact number. I think there was 7 walk-offs on Friday alone, and the regional record prior to this year was 8 in the whole tournament. We had almost had that on Friday. I was blown away. You know, I know we had texted a bunch over the weekend, and like, I'd said this to you a couple times, like, dude, this is incredible, man. Like, this is an incredible level of baseball being played right now this weekend. And something I will say, because I know you were as well, Andy, last week, we were very, very, very critical of the committee. Committee did what the committee did, whether they got it right or they didn't get it right. You know, I think one of the things you saw was 2 teams in regional finals that were, quote unquote, one of the last 6 in, didn't have members on the committee that got in. And I think there's something to be said about that. Like, you know, we got to continue to evolve. We got to continue to, you know, figure out, you know, what's the right metrics of evaluating teams. But, you know, after the last weekend, sitting down and watching, you know, maybe they missed, you know, Charleston, I think, was snubbed, but that's besides the point. I think they did a really good job of what they did.
Yeah, I think some of that speaks to the depth, because to your point, there was probably a half a dozen teams on the outside looking in that you could make a really good case belonged in the tournament. But everybody who got in belonged there too, right? And I think 2 things can be true at the same time when it comes to this kind of stuff. And like, yeah, would it have been awesome? And did Charleston deserve it? Yeah. Did Northeastern probably deserve it? Yeah, probably. But Coastal got to the, you know, regional final. And that was one of the teams that we talked about probably didn't belong to be there. But you put them in that situation, an older club, well coached, they're there to compete, and I mean, they're in the mix.
I won't even go one further, right? Oregon and Kansas State, I mean, 2 teams. I mean, even Florida, too. Like, really, 3 teams we said. And Florida did have a member on the committee, so it's a little bit different for them. But, like, Oregon and, you know, Kansas State did not. Both got in. Both won their respective regionals. I mean, Kansas State went right through it. Like, they didn't even have an issue. No hiccups, nothing. Just, boom, right through. So,
always helps when you can find a way to beat Hagen Smith. Did you see that stat about the number of runs he'd given up in his first start versus last start or something?
So his first start and his last start, he gave up 9 total runs in the 81 or 82 innings in between. He gave up 9 runs.
So insane.
What are we talking about? Right? Like,
yeah, that's the wild part about these regionals is that everything that you did in the past to a certain extent goes out the window. And it's really just about how good you are on that day. Like we saw with a couple front end guys, you know, Johnson from Dallas Baptist had, I mean, he walked two guys. Like who would have thought, like they were sitting there saying it, but like he walked two of the 14 guys that he walked all season in one game and ended up getting beat, you know, and you could argue Chase Burns had one of his worst outings of the year.
Hold job with him.
Yeah, I mean, West Virginia is an interesting ball club. I'm sure we're going to get into them. That's a freaking gritty group. But, yeah, it was an awesome opening weekend. I think the Supers are going to be pretty electric. Like, you've got a couple teams that fought their way in there that you probably didn't expect. You know, UConn, Kansas State, Evansville, West Virginia probably weren't on everybody's docket to get there, although I believe you had West Virginia picked. But we got some other – you know, kind of like blue blood marquee matchups coming up that are, it's going to be a wild super weekend. So where do you want to start?
I think we go right to Knoxville, baby, right? Let's go with the number one overall seed.
All right. I mean, Evansville's story is incredible. I don't think you can bet against Tennessee here. Like your boy, who's not a finalist for the Golden Spikes, but just kind of wild, is just absolutely electric. That offense is humming. That place, I noticed this for the first time watching them. That stadium is super tight. It sits close to the field. They've done a bunch of improvements in terms of what they can do from an attendance perspective, but that's a hard place to play. It's a really hard, and Evansville's coming out of ECU, which is one of the most electric atmospheres in college baseball, but I'm not sure if they can drum up the magic they had against the Pirates and pull two out of three down in Tennessee, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Volunteers here too. And, you know, I love Christian Moore. I've been kind of on that train for, you know, better part of a month here. You know, it's pretty rare that you have like the best numbers in the SEC and nobody talks about you. And like you said, Golden Spikes finalist, and he's not on the list. Like, guys, have we seen the stats? Like, are we looking at the stats? So shout out to Christian Moore, Tony V. Those guys will play hard for him. Yeah, it's a good point, Andy, because I've been there to Knoxville. I've been in that stadium. It's kind of like they just kept adding seats. You know, it was like the shell of the stadium, and then they were like, oh, we need more. You know, and this is obviously a huge credit to Tony and his staff of what they built there, because what they were, you know, 6 years ago and what they are now is a totally different animal. But they kind of were like, oh, we got good. Let's put on some more seats. But they didn't like, there wasn't a total like redo of the whole stadium. You know, they added seats in the outfield. Then they like, they kind of extended down the lines a little bit, but like you're right on top of each other. It's going to be a massive atmosphere this weekend. They've shown that, you know, year in and year out the last few years with hosting. Evansville is a beautiful story. It's great. Happy for them. But their season's going to come to an end on Saturday afternoon in Knoxville. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they have the front-end arms that Oral Roberts had last year where you could walk into Tennessee and just say, hey, man, let's roll. But who knows? As we saw, who freaking knows? But, yeah, I got to roll with the Volunteers on this one, and they're looking like a tough club to beat right now. Let's move on to the number two seed in Lexington. We've got a West Coast squad flying into Kentucky, one of my favorite teams to watch. You're a Christian Moore guy. Tough to not love that kid. God, is he fun to watch. The East Coast in college baseball is going to get a nice dose of Mr. Travis Bazzana this weekend. And man, is that kid electric. This one, for me, I think this one comes down to that Kentucky gets to play three times in their home stadium. I like the heritage of Oregon State. They've won so much. The expectations are so high. They're typically really good in playoff situations. Like, historically, they're always very good in the NCAA tournament. They've got some star power. I love watching Caden May throw. Just athletic, electric stuff. Kentucky doesn't blow you away in any one facet of the game, but they're so damn good across the board. Like, they throw a ton of strikes, and they compete super hard offensively, and they play defense, and they're athletic. Like, I think if you go down, like, Tennessee's lineup and Oregon State's lineup and UNC's lineup, man for man, they might not be quite as talented, but it's not a fluke how many games they've won to this point. And I think that that ultimately, that consistency and their ability to do, to play all phases of the game at a high level, I think that ultimately wins out here. So I'm gonna go Wildcats here. I think that home field advantage is what tips the scales for me.
I'm going to read the tweet you sent me yesterday. So we're going to shout out to @SpencerN_24. He tweeted this out. I have no idea who that is. So don't judge me or don't believe it, you know, whatever on this guy. I'm just going to quote this tweet that Andy sent me yesterday. Travis Bonanza's OPS is a 1.512. Oregon State's last Omaha trips have been 05, 06, 07, 13, 17, and 18. The best hitter on those rosters, 05, and this is a legit list, by the way, of players. Jacoby Ellsbury had a 1.105. Cole Gillespie in 06 had a 1.178. Jordan Lenterton in 2007 had a 961. Conforto in 13 had a 973. Nick Madrigal had a 981 in 17, and Rutschman had a 1133 in 18. He's almost 400 points higher than anybody else.
Which is, I mean, Rutschman, if you watch Major League Baseball, you know who he is, first rounder. Madrigal, I coached against him when I was at William & Mary. He's one of the best all-around college baseball players I've ever seen. Like, the ball was a freaking – it was like Velcro in his glove. First rounder. Conforto, first rounder. Jacoby Ellsbury, for those of you who don't know, the Boston Red Sox version of Jacoby Ellsbury was – like, prime Ellsbury was as good as it was in baseball at center field during that window. You're not talking about good college players. You're talking about top of the absolute food chain baseball players. And his numbers are significantly higher than that group, which is bananas.
Area code. They're not even in the area code. It's bananas. A joke. It's crazy.
I'm fired up to bear down on him. And I think it's cool that you do have some West Coast representation out here, because I think that a lot of the East Coast crowd doesn't get a chance to see those guys. And I mean, Oregon State's a blue blood, but you don't get to watch them, and you get a chance to see what they do out there and why that program is so significant. And it wouldn't surprise me if they won this regional, but or this super, I should say, but man, Kentucky's got it rolling right now. So.
Yeah. And I wanted to give that shout out to Bonanza, because the numbers are silly, but you know this, I've been on this train. I said it last week. I've been on this Kentucky train since probably the middle of April, early April. I'm going to go Wildcats. Being at home, I don't know. I've been on them all year. I'm just going to stay with them. So I'll go Wildcats here too.
All right. Let's take it to the 3 seed. There's a few storylines in this one. But Clemson is going to play host to the Florida Gators, who I still stand on the fact that probably shouldn't have been in the tournament, but I also picked them to get here.
You did.
And that pained me to say it, but they're so darn talented that with one swing of a bat, and it's not just Caglione, like there's probably other future big leaguers on that roster. And with Caglione on the mound, you really just got to find a way to win one of the other two. This Clemson team's been awesome. They win close games. They're playing at home in a super for the first time in a long time.
They lost, I think. What was the stat? What do we say? Six straight regionals as hosts, I believe it was.
Yeah, six straight. They've lost. This is a big deal for them. And for those of you who haven't been watching college baseball for the last 20 years, like, I mean, there was a time where Clemson was the destination. It was the place to be. And they were going to the College World Series under Jack Leggett. And are they going to break through here? I don't think so. I think Florida is going to win this series. I think Caglione's going to stuff it. And I think they find a way to win one of the other two. The only thing that gives me pause here, because I don't think this stuff happens by accident, is Clemson has been absolutely exceptional in tight games. And they seem to have a knack for being able to make a play, being able to make a pitch, and being able to put a good at-bat together when it really matters. And that's coaching, in my opinion. So hats off to Coach Backage. Everybody knows how good that guy is at his job. I'm going to go with a little bit of star power here. I'm going to go with a team that's been to College World Series. Kevin O'Sullivan's been through it all. I'm going to go Gators here. That's where I'm at.
Disappointing. You know my stance all year on the Gators, but what I will say is, and I'm not going to make this selection based off of that. I am going to truly pick Clemson here. I think another cool storyline, I know I brought it up last week, but you're going to have three of the four. Obviously, Corbs was in the dugout last week and Sully was not in the dugout, but you're going to have three of the four, members of that staff, you know, with Coach Leggett, with Backich, and now with Sully. Sully was the pitching coach on that staff. In the building at the same time, which I think is going to be a really, really, really cool storyline. I think it's just a cool part of the Supers. Sully going back to Clemson for, you know, I believe it's the first time Florida's played there, since he has left. So 18 years ago. The one thing I would say is, and I thought that was a really competitive, I mean, you know, High Point obviously eliminated Vandy, which was, I think, pretty surprising. Coastal looked really good, though. Clemson, they just don't miss a beat. Like, they just pounded their way through that regional and never really felt like it was ever going to be anybody else. I was just super impressed. They're very businesslike. I think Coach Backich gets these guys to Omaha, you know, for the first time in a really long time, with the Tigers.
That should be a cool one. Definitely looking forward to watching that. And I mean, that Clemson, the venue there is unique. They get that little hill in center field, and you know, they take their baseball pretty darn serious down there. That should be an electric series. It'd be interesting to see how that all plays out. Next up, we're gonna go to my favorite venue in college baseball at this point. We're gonna go to A&M. College Station. We got the Oregon Ducks rolling in from the West Coast to take on the Texas A&M Aggies. What do you got on this one?
I just think, we hit on this a little bit last week, I just think like A&M with that offense in that building, it's obviously going to be warm. I mean, Oregon can pitch it a little bit, but like they're kind of another one, you know, like really nice season, last four in. I just don't think A&M has any issues. I just think that offense is just so ridiculous. Brady Montgomery, like that whole crew. I mean, you go down that lineup, you know, it's – I just don't think A&M has any issue in their building this weekend with Oregon. And again, nothing against Oregon. They had a phenomenal year. They did a great job in that regional. But I'm going to take A&M here. I think A&M just day in and day out. They hit a little bit of a misstep like the first week of May, like last week of April, somewhere around there. But they've just been, they're like Clemson a little bit, like where they've just been so businesslike the way they've taken these games late in the year. I just think, you know, A&M gets passed, and A&M's going to go back to Omaha for the second time in 3 years with Coach Schloss.
I'm going to join you on the A&M train. I think they're just going to be a little too much to handle in that venue. Oregon's a nice story. It's a good ball club. I think that they're one of the teams in the next 4 or 5 years that it's going to be really interesting to see how they continue to build. This is the most consistent success that they've had. Obviously, they've got the funding. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they can continue to progress. But I think their season comes to an end here. Do want to call out one kid on the Oregon team that I'm a huge fan of. Their third baseman, Carter Garate. That kid is an absolute wizard defensively. He made a play this past weekend that if you put him in a different uniform, you would have thought it was Nolan Arenado. It was such a high-level play made with an incredible amount of ease in almost in a nonchalant way. Low slot throw with time. Like, he's got something over there at third base that is rather special. I really enjoy watching that kid with a glove on his hand. But he's the one kid from Oregon there. And they got other good players. I'm not spiting anybody here, but watching them play last week, man, is he good.
You legit texted me the minute it happened. Like, and you're like, yo, this dude from Oregon, like, it's Arenado. And I was like, I was not watching. I was watching a different game. And I pulled it up, and I watched it. And I was like, wow, it's a high-level play. It's a really high-level play. I mean, but back to our point earlier, like, just some hot take. Like, how the defense, man. The defense has been phenomenal in the regional round. Like, every play that's supposed to be made is made. There's the defense is right now is at a really, really, really high level. So, but yeah, shout out to Grotto at Oregon. Play was sick. You were all over it, man. You were on it.
Yeah, that kid's fantastic, man. Big fan of watching him play. All right, so we both got A&M there. They got four SEC teams making it. The heck. Let's go to Chapel Hill. What a freaking regional that was. All right, so we got West Virginia traveling to UNC. That regional in UNC was absolutely electric from start to finish. Everybody involved in that regional was awesome. UNC winning that decisive game. What an atmosphere. Like, this is going to be a good one. And that West Virginia team is tough. They're playing for a coach who's finishing up his career. They play their absolute butts off for him. Battle-tested coming out of that Arizona regional, having to beat Dallas Baptist and one of the best arms in the country. Then you got to take them on again. You got to beat a really good Grand Canyon team. Like, they've been through it here in that regional. I think that was one of the toughest regionals to get through. You called it. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll start with this. And I'm actually going to make this decision here in the next, as I continue to talk, I'm going to make my decision because I don't know. I was so impressed. And shout out to North Carolina fans, the UNC fans. Like, you know, all year, you know, I think the ACC has gotten flack, probably from us, you know, and we've, you know, kind of given the ACC a little bit of flack in terms of, you know, they're maybe down a little bit. You know, it's always the SEC. And don't get us wrong. Like, you know, I'm a huge SEC guy. You know, I've got three picks right now at SEC teams. But the atmosphere top to bottom in that regional was absolutely incredible. They filled the stands. They were in the games. That atmosphere on Monday was electric. 7 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night when they started. Phenomenal. West Virginia, has a couple of things going against them, I will say. North Carolina did have to play on Monday, but West Virginia had to fly back across the country. I don't know if you saw the story, Andy, but the team actually chartered 30 players or 40 players, I believe it was. And the coaching staff flew commercial back because they couldn't get a chartered flight back home to West Virginia on Sunday night or Monday morning, I guess it was, back. Going west to east is going to be tough. You obviously are home for basically a night. Then you're going back down, you know, to kind of get ready to prep. But they're playing, you know, for Coach Mazie. They've never been to Omaha. They are battle tested. I'm going to go Mountaineers. I'm going to go with my boy Jimbo. Jimbo's going to get him the first year there. He's going to get him. They're going to get to Omaha, get Coach Mazie out in fashion. And the Mountaineers are going to go to Omaha, I think, for the first time ever.
I love it. Love the pick. They got a little star power, too. I mean, J.J. Weatherholt looks healthy now, and that's a scary offensive player who can change a game, period. Can change a game and change it real quick. And sometimes when you get in these really tight matchups, it comes down to a guy like that, and they got one of them. Now, UNC's got a couple, like – Vance Honeycutt's that dude's a thoroughbred, and he's been as good as advertised. The Gallagher kid at third base is awesome. Like, good luck in the ACC dealing with that kid for the next 2 years. I think the depth on UNC's pitching staff is what's going to be the difference. That's what I'm going to hang my head on, and that's why I think UNC is going to ultimately end up winning this one. I think they got a bunch of power arms in the bullpen. They got some battle-tested guys that are going to run out there as starters. I think they got some star power. And, you know, with Honeycutt and Gallagher and Casey Cook he's just a hitter. Just consistently good at bats all the time. I think ultimately the depth of that UNC pitching staff is going to give them a chance to get through it. I think it goes three games, and I think it's going to be a tight one. But I think the home field advantage and the depth of that bullpen, I think, is what's ultimately going to give UNC the tip here.
That's my first three games here. Two run games, like the whole way, all the way through it. So yeah, I totally agree. I think it's one of the ones that I'm like super pumped about seeing because I think that they match up so well, right? Like, you know, obviously you got, you know, a lot of star power with, you know, you're gonna have probably two top 10 picks, you know. Maybe three or four top 30 pick. Like, it's just, there's just a lot that I think is going to be really cool in that in the super. So definitely probably one of one of my favorite ones to watch.
Yeah. I'm going to go with UNC, but I'd have to, I'll be pulling for West Virginia. Cause that would just be an incredible story. On so many levels, first time Coach Mazie's last season. Yeah. That'll be a good one. All right, let's head to Georgia. 2-1 seeds. I think it's the only matchup. No, Oregon State and Kentucky are both ones. But NC State's traveling. A little trip down I-95 to go play the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia, kind of an upstart this year. You know, I don't think anybody would have had them as a national seed at the beginning of the year. I don't even think they were in many people's top 25s. Powered by just an absolute freak show of a hitter, Charlie Condon. What do you got?
Honestly, I think kind of like what you said last bracket with UNC and West Virginia, you kind of leaned UNC because of the home field. I think that's what I'm going to go here too. I think I'll even go one further. I mean, there were probably most people would have said, hey, who's the two teams that don't get to Hoover? Never mind into the field of 64, but who doesn't get to Hoover? I think you have a lot of people that would have picked Georgia, which is pretty crazy. And, you know, Wes Johnson did a phenomenal job getting them into a national seed. I just think that home field, same thing, kind of like I went back to with A&M. It's going to be warm down there. They got the offense. They have enough pitching. You know, NC State's really good, but, you know, are they going to – I think Georgia can win 13-12. I think NC State can maybe win a game 13-12. I don't know if they can do that twice. And I think in this atmosphere, I think that's what you're probably going to have to do. You have to win, you know, probably two shootouts. I don't think we're getting a 2-1 winner here at all. 3-2 and even something like that. Like, I think you're going to have to score some runs here. And I think I just would take Georgia being the home team with that offense in their own building. I'm just going to lean Georgia. I think this is a really close matchup, though, too, but I'm going to lean Georgia here.
I'm going to deviate from it on this one, Jonathan. I'm going to go with the Wolfpack here. I think that the Coach Avent's going to find a way to make sure that Condon doesn't hurt him. And I think NC State is playing really well right now. This is one I don't have like a great explanation as to why Georgia did what they needed to do. They got that star power. They're playing at home, but there's something that tells me that NC State's going to be up to the task. And I think it's three games, and I think NC State ends up taking it in game three and represents the ACC in the College World Series. They had a title taken from them a couple of years back, and maybe this is their run to make it interesting again. So that's my pick. All right, let's head to Tallahassee. Able to get that field fixed after the natural, what, they have a tornado? Was it a tornado came through?
Yeah.
Jacked up that outfield fence.
Campus, I believe, right?
Yeah. So we got the UConn Huskies are traveling to Florida State. A couple good storylines here. UConn played six Division III transfers in the final game against Oklahoma. If that doesn't tell you how good college baseball is top to bottom, I don't know what we need to do to convince you. But they started a left-handed pitcher who was previously pitching at Salve Regina, and he went and absolutely stuffed it on a really, really, really good Oklahoma team. This UConn team's tough. They're gritty. They're super well coached. But they got to walk into Florida State, a couple of the best arms in the country that they're going to have to face down. Where are you going with this one?
Yeah, I think UConn's story is phenomenal. You know, I know me and you have talked about this in detail this week. Six Division III transfers, you know, just super well coached, like do things the right way. They know exactly what they want. But I think it's kind of one of those ones where, you know, you kind of ran out of luck here. You know, the Buckeyes here. I'm going to go Florida State. I just think in that building again, I think, you know, not that home field is everything in the super regional setting, because it's not. And we've seen that in years past. But I just think it with this one, Florida State in their own building, they obviously had that tornado, you know, the scare where the field got destroyed. People, you know, guys' cars, they didn't even know if their guys' cars were going to be around when they got back. They're on a road trip. Just kind of a scary situation. Link's done a phenomenal job with that club. They really, you know, I mean, they started 24-0, I believe it was, like, and then the one game they lost was to Clemson at Clemson, and they were up like 10-1, like in like the fourth. It just seems like they've been really, really, really consistent the whole way, similar to like what I talked about with A&M, that like I'm just going to lean Florida State here. Again, phenomenal story with UConn, what they did, that coaching staff, Coach Penders, what he's built in Storrs, Connecticut is nothing short of amazing. I mean, you know, their field now is incredible, but, you know, 7-8 years ago, it was one of the worst in New England. They were continuing to, you know, to pump out, you know, championship type teams, going to a super regional. They've done a phenomenal job. I just think Florida State's been so consistent all year that I'm just going to lean Seminoles here.
Yeah, that's where my head is at too. I mean, like you said, the UConn story is great. They were on the cusp of getting in the College World Series a couple of years ago at Stanford. They won game one. They had their guy going in game two, weren't able to close it out against a just an exceptional Stanford team. I think they probably come up short again this weekend. I mean, Jamie Arnold, like, it's just what that kid's done is when you have a guy like that that you can run out in a three-game series, it makes such a difference because you're really basically trying to split the other two. And I think Florida State takes this home. I think they make a return trip to Omaha where they've been many, many times. And they might make some noise there. So I'm on the Seminole train as well. The Noles are back, unlike Texas. Texas is not back. All right. Final regional. In this one, I have no idea what to make of this one. We're going to head to Charlottesville. K-State walked out of the Arkansas bracket, which is nothing short of impressive. Mr. Culpepper at shortstop. If you haven't watched this kid play, he's as good of an athlete and as good of a baseball player as there is in the country. He's probably going to end up being a first rounder. He had a huge swing against Arkansas that ultimately tipped the tides, and they're in a super another one of those teams that, like, should they have gotten in? Yeah, I don't know, but it certainly looked like they should have after what they did this past weekend. And they got to play UVA in that atmosphere. That place is wild. UVA gets that kind of like preppy, you know, kind of calm country club type of reputation, but that is not how the baseball games are there. And they continue to expand that stadium, and that place is electric, and it is hard to win there. I don't know where I'm going with this one. I'm going to try to talk my way through it. I don't love this UVA pitching staff. They were great this past weekend. But if you look at what they did throughout the year, there's holes here. Like, the Blanco kid's been really consistent. They got some awesome innings out of the Wolfork kid who hadn't really been good all year, and he was fantastic. The Augustine kid came out of the bullpen and threw the ball as well as he's thrown it all year. If they can do that again, I think they finish this in two. Because that offense is dynamic. It's just absolutely dynamic. I mean, they got thoroughbreds in the outfield with Sauke and Didowak and Whalen. They have who I think he's Mike Bordick, the O'Farrell kid playing shortstop. I think that kid's going to play shortstop in the big leagues. Goodbout's awesome. They got a platoon at third base. Like, the depth offensively there is scary, and the numbers speak for themselves. As I talk through it, home field advantage with that offense, I think if push comes to shove and they need to win a game where you got to score a bunch of runs, I think it's UVA. I think UVA makes another trip to Omaha behind one of the best coaching staffs in the country. So, yeah, I talked myself in it. UVA, Omaha bound.
I think the one thing I think right now, like, and there's some more we talked about it, like, shout out to, like, the atmosphere in Raleigh too for NC State. Like, you, the ACC did a phenomenal job with hosting, you know, and again, I think, you know, we had talked about it and we were a little bit down on the ACC, and, you know, you got Clemson, Raleigh with NC State, you know, Chapel Hill with North Carolina and UVA. I mean, you're talking about, those were phenomenal atmosphere. So shout out to the ACC. For really, really doing it with their fans. That their fan bases were awesome. This is an interesting one because, like you said, like, UVA looked like they could win the whole thing last weekend. But really, for most of the year, there's been flashes of it, right? Like, they've showed flashes. Hey, we might be the best team in the country. Hey, we might not even be a tournament team. So, it's weird. Like, what do we get? Are we going to get UVA last weekend? One thing I will say, and me and you were both on this with Arkansas, I said it, Arkansas in end of April was one of the best teams in the country. I felt like they were limping their way into that regional. It showed, you know, and obviously Hagan Smith wasn't good. So that, you know, anytime your number one's not good, that's, it's probably an easy way to, you know, to lose a regional. But they just felt like they were kind of limping their way into the tournament, and they weren't exploding their way into the tournament like, you know, an A&M or a Kentucky or a Tennessee, especially Tennessee. So we were definitely on the right page with that. We all picked Arkansas, I believe, to get out of that regional anyway. But, you know, I did feel like they were, there were some, you know, definitely some chinks in that armor for them. I'm going to go Kansas State here. Like you said, the Culpepper kid's ridiculous. There's just one of these teams like Oral Roberts last year that you're just, you can't put your finger on why, but it seems like they're playing their best baseball right now. And they have been, because they have been the last like month or so, I would say since like the middle part of May, they've been really, really, really good. I'm going to go Kansas State here. And again, I don't even know if they deserve to be in the tournament. They didn't have a member on the committee, so I'm going to say they did deserve to be in. Kansas State.
The lone, wow, you've got two Big 12 teams going in. West Virginia and Kansas State, Big 12 represent. I will say I'm a little bit disappointed that Oklahoma State didn't make it out, because I like watching that bench kid play.
And that would have made Florida would have been home.
It would have been, yeah. But that that bench kid who plays right field for Oklahoma State starts and hits left-handed and rakes, like, he might not have like the best pro profile, but that might be the best baseball player in the whole country. I mean, how many dudes can play an electric right field, are uber athletic, can hit at the top of the order, and grab the ball on Sunday and go stuff it on you? He's, that kid's electric. I would have loved to have watched him continue to play some baseball this weekend, but the Gators gave it to him. So
you picked it, not me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it still hurts, but I'm riding with him to the World Series. So who knows? Maybe I'll just pick him to win it all next week. Who knows what happens if they get out?
The one thing I will give a shout out to is that the what's the bar in Omaha? The bar in Omaha with the Jello shots. I feel for you guys, man. I feel for you. I mean, you got LSU home, you got Mississippi State home, you got Ole Miss home, and you got Arkansas home. I mean, if Tennessee doesn't, if Evansville somehow figures out a way to win that, what are you guys going to do? You're not going to sell any Jello shots.
It's so true. They need one of those wild fan bases that's going to show up and smash shots, because right now it's, you're banking on a couple fan bases. I mean, everybody travels pretty good in this group from the teams that we're picking, but there seems to be a little different level of fandom with the LSU and the Arkansas and the Ole Miss and Miss State. Like, that's like a way of life. You're not just a fan. Like, it's a way of life.
They need Texas A&M and Tennessee to get through them, these supers, so bad, because otherwise that poor owner, I hope he didn't, you know, put a new pool in or something like that in his house, because he ain't going to be able to pay that bill.
Oh, that's too good. Any closing remarks for our super regional wrap up?
Go watch some baseball this weekend. I'm going to be locked in tomorrow, I can tell you that.
Hell all yeah. Weekend. Hell yeah. It's going to be a good one. What, we got four games tomorrow?
Yeah, four tomorrow and then eight on Saturday. And then obviously then just TBD Sunday and Monday. I think you're going to have, though, if I were to get, you're going to get at least two on Monday. I mean, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, the margins are so thin at this level. Like, I think the only team who's really walking into the regional, like, probably just overmatched is Evansville. But we've seen that story play out where, like, you don't know. You know, what they did at ECU.
Yeah, Stony Brook in 2012 is a perfect example.
Exactly. So
into LSU, right?
Yep. Was Mike Maron? Mike Maron was on that staff.
He was.
Yeah. That was an electric run. One of a few we've seen in the last decade or so. Maybe Evansville does it. We don't think they're gonna, but We've been wrong before. So, all right. Well, with that, thank you everybody for listening. Tune in next week as we break down the Supers and we pick our national champion. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in next week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.